In today's podcast, we will be debunking the many myths that exist around maintenance and log and timber homes. We're joined today by Chris Wood. He's an industry expert with Permachink Systems. When you're building a new home, Chris, a lot of people, particularly a new log and timber home, they've got a lot of opinions and perhaps previous history with maintenance associated with them. So with that in mind, what are some of the common myths that you've heard that just simply aren't true?
You know, over the years, we've seen product improvements for stains and sealants, and we're certainly in the throes of the best products that have ever been made right now. But I remember when I first got in the industry, there was the one and done thing. You put one coat, never have to touch it again, and or the steel wool and vinegar trick, you know, to gray out old timbers, and that would provide the protection and all that. And I don't know, you know, if you go back 30, 40 years later, and if it was well designed, it's probably holding up okay if it's got protection and such. But more times than not, they're having to take it down to the bare wood and do it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, design is such an important aspect of that. I mean, Justin and John, you are always designing homes with clients. What are some of the great principles that we're always applying to new home construction?
I think definitely one of them is longer overhangs. I mean, extending those overhangs 3-4 feet in length, getting them, definitely getting past those corner systems. You know, if you have a button pass corner system, ours stick out about, you know, 8 to 12 inches, shorter on some of the dovetails, but certainly longer overhangs are key. You know, getting it, protecting that log or timber on the exterior, providing basically a shade or an umbrella on that product. And then it also sheds water away from the home as well, so you don't have water splashing up onto the product or the siding as the rain is, you know, falling off the roof. So, and then protecting it on those south-facing tall gable ends, definitely longer overhangs there. If you got a south-facing gable end, you certainly want to protect it from that hot summer sun for sure, you know. That's definitely one thing that I see or recommend for clients, longer overhangs.
Anytime you can incorporate covered porches, you know, that's important because you're keeping the roof over the log. I like to design with cultured stone or real stone around the bottom, the foundation, keeping the log up off the ground so that any of that rain that does maybe splash back hits the stone.
What about you, Chris? I mean, you've been in the industry for so long. You're touching base on your experience a little bit earlier. We had filmed another podcast over on the New Home Show, and that's a great episode for those of you who are looking to build a new home. In today's podcast, we'll get more in depth about log and timber homes in particular. But you were touching base on your experience. If you're building a new home, what are some other aspects that you might change with the home design to help prevent maintenance?
You know, I've always said that good products can't overcome poor design. Son, it ultimately comes down initially to a nice piece of property that you want to put a nice home on it, and you got to design for the elements. You know, the weather's coming in different parts of the country from different directions most of the time, but where I'm at comes from the south and the west. So putting the porches and the overhangs and the gutters and downspouts, you know, to protect that, but trying to get the water to flow from uphill, downhill, and around the house is so important too. And splashing, you know, keeping it up off the ground and using sloping the land away, landscaping away, and again avoiding, you know, people don't like gutters and downspouts, but they certainly pay dividends if the water's coming down and splashing back up and hitting your wood-sided home.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning you like to keep like the vegetation, so plants and all of that, away from the house, because give it a few years, those will grow pretty big, and all of a sudden you're trapping moisture up against that wood siding.
Yeah, and you know, landscaping's tricky, and there are experts, landscape architects, that earn their weight in gold by, you know, planting 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Because sometimes those little ornamental trees look kind of cute when you're 10 feet away from the house, and 20 years from now it's needing to get cut down. And also trees that, you know, are forked or at least split that are, you know, nobody likes to cut down trees. But if the tree is getting equipment run over the roots and 20 years later it's hanging out over the roof of the house, that's never a good thing for pollen and berries and stuff like that that can get on the roof and get on the logs, and, you know, need to be maintained a little bit more so. So getting the branches away from the roof is important. Hmm.
So maintenance really can be simple and not as complicated as many make it seem, as long as we're implementing these great design principles. A lot of times I think we've seen more of a do-it-yourself culture with log and timber homes, and I think it's really impressive. But with that in mind too, that might be the first time that person's ever built a log or timber home. And we've even seen, I mean, I think back to my grandpa when he was starting in the 60s, that he would know of guys that would suggest to him, well, use linseed oil to protect the exterior of the wood, right? Or I've even heard stories of automatic oil transmission fluid,
yeah.
You know, all of that. It's just experimental. Stains, of course, they're high-performing stains that are used today. And as you've touched on, Chris, you can have great design principles, high-performance stains, but the preparation matters as well. And you're very thoughtful and intentional about preparing the wood. Would you touch base on that and teach us, you know, how would you go about staining a home for the first time?
Well, surface prep is so important. And whether the house got stacked 5 months ago or it's been sitting around for 2 years, has a different tact to it. So you want to, if the house has been up for a year or two and it's starting to gray and fade from the sun, then you'd probably want to use a little more aggressive wood renew to get it down to the bare original wood color and surface before you're able to get these water-based stains to stick. If it's relatively new up, the standard log wash would get the pollen off and the construction debris and the sand and the grit. You want to get it down to it's a nice clean surface for stuff to stick to. So that's number one, is you got to do surface prep.
So obviously prep, I mean, we covered that. You've got the log wash, the wood renew, and the cedar wash.
Cedar wash, yep.
So that's the first big step. I mean, that's so important. Once the house or the logs have been prepped, can you talk a little bit about the stains Permachink offers and highlight, you know, the differences between the different lines you guys offer on the exterior and the different pros and cons to them?
Sure. We've had the Lifeline series around for 42 or so years, and it's been around, used great on the inside, great color palettes, and good on the outside. Then came up with Ultra 7, which is a one-coat application instead of a two-coat, and it's got more pigments in it, and it's got some great color palette. A little tricky to apply, and it has a lot to do with whether you're brushing it or have a crew that's spraying and back brushing. But it's a great product for a one-coat application on the outside. And then Ultra 2 is the top-of-the-line two-coat product that's got the milled decides and the UV protection, and it typically is easy to apply. You still have to back brush it, but spray it, put on two coats, and then all of it typically gets a top coat, an advanced clear top coat, and that adds the length of exposure and time to it. It just makes it easier to clean and maintain. And if you don't want to use Advance under the porches, I get it, but use it on that exposed gable end or where it's getting the weather and or the sun coming in. It's going to add life to the extent.
Why wouldn't you use Advance under the covered porches?
You could, but you don't necessarily have to.
Oh.
It depends. If you want the sheen, and what I mean by that is if you got round logs, a lot of times they want a gloss finish. Use it everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And it's beautiful, and it makes the look. But if you've got a flat or a squared product, a lot of times they don't want a shiny finish on it. And they do, you know, we make a satin Advance. Okay. But if it's under a porch and protected, you may not have to use it there. But definitely use it up on the gables and where it's exposed to the weather.
And the advantage to the clear coat, I like to tell customers, is, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, if, you know, maybe you just do one wall every summer.
Yep.
And work your way around the house, you're not altering the pigment of the stain. So you can do that with just a clear coat. You know, if you do just the south wall and the next summer do the west, you're not making, where some stains are a stain and sealer in one, you know, and all of a sudden you might darken that wall a little bit. So you have to do the whole home, where with permachink systems, you can get by doing like one wall at a time.
You can do the water spray bottle test. Mm-hmm. You get water in a spray bottle and you squirt it on the surface. If it's beading up and running off, it's still working and doing its thing. If it soaks in, then you probably need to put another coat of advance on there.
And you're recommending that that log wash gets used at least once a year. So that's a good time to pay attention to that when you're spraying the log wash
it
on
is.
The wall.
And it shouldn't be too intimidating. You know, if you need to do one wall per weekend or month, you can work around the house and get it all done. You can use a garden hose to rinse it off. You know, it's just when you've got that 30-foot wall, you probably need a little more horsepower, you know, to get the water to be able to reach it, as well as your extended wands to spray it. And you always want to apply this the wash and the cleaner and stain in the shade. We call chasing the shade. You know, it's never a good idea to be standing in direct sunlight because it's just too hot and it makes it dry too quickly. So work around the shady sides of the house when you're cleaning and repeat when you're doing the stain application.
So you talked about the multiple coats, one coat with Ultra 7, two with the Ultra 2, and the Lifeline exterior. That's two coats as well?
It is two coats, yeah.
A two-coat process is a little more straightforward for a do-it-yourselfer or someone that's applying by themselves. Whereas you said the one coat is better for a larger stain crew.
It is. And what's tricky on the Ultra 7 is it sets up kind of quickly. And so if you've got one person that's doing the spraying and you've got two people following doing the back brushing, that's great. Maybe one person following and they're keeping up with the sprayer. But if you're spraying it and putting it down and going back and back brushing and it's 90 degrees out, you're going to have potential to see lap marks between where you're stopping and starting, and then you're kind of resigned to put a second coat to cover up the lap marks. So if you are a one-man band and you're doing it on the Ultra 7, it's best to probably apply it by hand.
Fortunately for our clients, their exterior and interior stain is being applied by professionals. They may consider doing the reapplication of that clear top coat in the future. There is no difference there. That'd be pretty straightforward. So it's pretty easy for the homeowner to be able to keep up on that. And it really eliminates any sort of assumption that it would be complicated to keep your home looking as great as it did on day one.
Sure.
Yeah, clear top coats are easy peasy. You know, it's very forgiving. You can't see drip marks and it's easy to apply. And so yes, it's easy for a homeowner to maintain that top coat.
What about the newer product you guys have, the Log and Timber Defense, right?
Yeah, no, very good. Our Log and Timber Defense and our Deck Defense is a product that it's a hybrid water-based product that does penetrate the wood, and it's intended for horizontal surfaces. So you have decks and railings that are exposed to, you know, horizontal surface to the sun. A film-forming water-based stain is not ideal. It's getting too much heat. So these penetrating water-based hybrids, the defense products, are ideal for that. And what's nice about it is we can do any color palette to match the wall stain in the Ultra 2, Ultra 7, or the Lifeline series. We can match it with the deck defense. And that is typically goes on maybe once every few years. Maybe it's once every year if it's exposed to the weather and taking a beating from the sun. But it doesn't peel. And it's very forgiving, and it's easy to apply.
So is it an oil-water mix, or you said it was a hybrid?
It's a hybrid. It's a water-based product, but it's using a different vehicle to allow it to penetrate than traditional mineral spirits. So it's a very low VOC product and very easy to work with.
Okay,
Do any or all of the exterior stains come with any kind of like additives in it that separate them from like your traditional box store, you know, cheaper brand stains?
Good point. And there's UV boost that's typically added on the first coat of stain that goes onto the house. And then there's Mildicide, and that's an additive that would go into the Lifeline Accents or Lifeline Standard exterior products. The Ultra 7 and Ultra 2 have already got those in them. So if you've got, you know, certain humid conditions or sites where you're on a pond or a river in the back, probably think about the Mildicide additives to put it on the top coat to keep the mold and mildew from maybe forming on your siding and stain.
Sure.
And I think that's the big thing when it comes to maintenance and log home products is you guys are formulating products for the log home industry, you know, specific for log homes, obviously, where sometimes you hear people talk about maintenance. And it's like, well, did they use the right product in the right application? You know, did they just go down to a big box store, maybe just pick up the cheapest stain they saw on the shelf because they didn't want to pay the extra for the higher quality or something, you know, and it wasn't formulated for what they were using it for. So I think that's where some of the myths that you hear about log maintenance. That's why it's so important to use a product that's designed for the application you're trying to use it for.
One other thing you mentioned about myths, and one thing we stopped selling clears and light natural for an exterior. They just weren't holding up. And I don't know anyone who's selling a clear anything on the exterior to deal with sun, UV, weather, that's not going to be out there every year messing with it. So it's we pulled that. Now, they work great on the inside, but we don't recommend clear products on the outside.
You mentioned colors, and the Accent line offers a lot of variety of colors. So it's not, it just doesn't have to be, you know, a brown tone, brown shade on the exterior. With that Accent line, there's a great color palette. I know that black walnut color, we do a lot of that just because of our Timberlake home series. But I think you get some other colors too with the accents, right? That Modern Lake Homes video series that we did, they featured red on the exterior, those red shakes. Mm. And I believe he was from a different country as well, right? Was he from Sweden? That's it, yeah, Sweden. So that certainly makes sense, yeah.
So is it true then to say that darker stains will hold up a little bit longer if you guys don't do clears on the outside?
Historically, yes. Yeah. Darker stains just have more pigment. They, you know, reflect the UVs and the sun, and they typically hold up longer. Mm-hmm. However, you get into some of these golds right now, and it's a lighter, kind of a more yellowy, and there's a bunch of titanium and stuff in it that's reflecting the heat and holding up really well. Hmm. And we do a lot of, you know, testing in the lab to before we bring it out to market to see how it holds up under the UV and the sun and the weather.
Well, like your name says, it's PermaChink Systems. So you have a lot of other products as well for the exterior. And I'm talking about maybe the caulk and the chinking as well. Maybe let's dig into the difference between caulk and chinking. What are the main differences?
Well, we have Energy Seal, which is elastomeric. It allows for stretching. It's got a texture to it, you know, sand that's kind of in it that is very stain grade. A bowl. So the water-based stains go over it, blends in seamless around windows and doors, indoor corners, things like that. The Energy Seal is great. It's usually designed for under an inch in widths. Woodsman is a smooth caulking that's typically used for stacking logs and putting it together, but some people use it around windows and doors too. It also takes a stain well, but it's smooth. And then chinking is designed to replace mortar, which is popular, you know, up until about 40 years ago. Okay. And it stretches and goes with it, and it has texture to it as well. And it's all about the application to put the swirls in or smooth it out, depending on what you're doing and the look that you're after.
That chinking is a great aesthetic. We see that a lot out west. You know, you think of the show Yellowstone, like you've mentioned before. And the thing that I like about using PermaChink systems is that all of your stains, it's a clear top coat, so I don't have to worry about coloring the chinking, being that it's applied after the stain's already been on. So any future reapplication isn't going to color the white chinking the same color as the stain. Whereas you can see other stain products out there, when you do reapplication in the future, it's going to carry more pigment with it. And that would be quite a bit more of a hassle to make sure that chinking looks white. Now, let's say someone does stain their chinking. Do you have anything to help touch that up?
Yeah, and you know, to avoid taping off all the chinking and then applying it by hand, which is typically what people would do, if you happen to drip some on it, wipe it up as you're going, and that typically works. But if it sets up overnight, you may have to come back over with chink paint. It's a watered-down version of chinking, and it's applied with a paintbrush, and it's kind of like pin striping, but it's one way to take old, dull, dirty, you know, chinking and give it fresh life, make it look brand new again without having to rip out chinking. Another myth that you hear is, how long is that chinking going to last? Well, once it sticks, and it only, you know, it may take a week for it to fully cure to avoid the poking your finger in test, but once it's cured, it ain't coming out. You know, it'll take cutting it out to be able to do it. So it's not like old mortar, horsehair, you know, clay, lime, all mixed together and put in, you know, that would crumble and break and stuff from 100 years ago. It's not like that.
And your energy seal is pretty much the same way too, right? I always tell customers when they call and say, well, how often am I going to have to re-caulk the house? As long as it's applied properly the first time, meaning a proper amount of product put on, you know, a thick enough bead, you really shouldn't have to run around and re-caulk the house down the road either, right?
Yeah, we try to coach people to get a 3/8 inch thick two-point adhesion, meaning at the top and at the bottom, and it'll break away from the approved backer. It's like a rubber band. It's got two points that are sticking, and it allows it the maximum adhesion. But if someone tries to take a pail of chinking and or energy seal and cover 1,000 feet, and they only put it on 1/8 inch thick, you're going to see some cracking and issues within less than a year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have an applicator or a person that's doing chinking, it's good to build that into the agreement to have them come back and take a look at things. And of course, as a homeowner, they've got to walk around and look at stuff too. If you start seeing some cracks after the first few months and it needs touched up.
Another thing I want to touch on is I think a lot of people are surprised at the adhesive properties of caulk. When you do stack the logs on top of each other, or if you're ever using it with two pieces and you're pulling it apart in the future, you're pulling at wood fiber before you're getting that caulk released. So it is incredible. What about blower door tests? Is that something that you ever recommend?
Personally, yeah. You know, it depends on the type of construction you're doing, but it's what's more important is thermography. You know, if you, and I've got one of these little apps for the iPhone, it's a Seek Thermal. Plug it in, and you know, if it's 70 degrees inside and 20 outside, it shows up like a Christmas tree on your iPhone where the red leaks are around windows and doors or corners. And you can kind of use that without spending $3,000 on a FLIR camera to, you know, give you a blueprint. And so having thermography works in a blower door is kind of handy because it just adds that pressure. They call it a 3 ACH 50, meaning 3 air change an hour at 50 Pascal. And all that fancy stuff means that basically you take off the front door and you put on, you know, the big blower door, and you put a balloon in the chimney to kind of stop it from there. You put it under a vacuum, and then you go around with this thermography, and it gives your crew a blueprint to be able to go by and caulk and seal. And then after they do it again. Make sure you reach that 3 ACH 50, which some parts of the country, believe it or not, is code. And they require that date and the test stamp to be put on the electrical panel of the house for future owners that know that it passed it at that particular time. It's not enforced everywhere, of course, but it is a peace of mind and, you know, lower energy bills and everything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. With a lot of our applications, of course, with full logs, you don't even see the fasteners, as well as with our half log. There might be certain trim applications where you have a fastener head exposed. Are you applying caulk over that fastener head?
It depends. If it's under a porch or an overhang, you can put wood putty in, sand it, stain it. You're done with it. Or energy seal. But if it's exposed out to the weather, definitely countersink it and cover it up and make sure that whatever you use, energy seal would be ideal. It doesn't dry out and provide access for water to get into it. But blind nailing and blind screwing is ideal. If you got a tongue and groove on a, you know, product, or if you can fasten it from below so it's not providing a path for water to come in from screw heads from above, that's even better.
We worked with PermaChink for many, many years. And I think the reason that we've supported the PermaChink system is because we have sample boards out in our facility and they're exposed to southern exposure all the time. We put the color, the way it was applied, the date, and we check on how that stain is holding up. And PermaChink's always held up very well.
Good news.
And that's oftentimes a uncertainty with people that are interested in a log and timber home. And I think that we've dispelled a lot of the myths. There are a lot of people that are experimenting, for one thing. They don't have good surface prep. They're not using high performance stains. I think that we can eliminate that concern for anyone building a new home, especially when you combine that with advanced building designs. Now on the interior, I've never heard of anyone having an issue with stain on the interior. Everyone loves picking out colors for the inside of their home, right? Trying to coordinate everything. Would you walk us through your product lines that you have available?
Lifeline Interior is a great price point. It's been around a long time. And whether you do a one coat or two coat is aesthetics. And oftentimes people want a contrast between the roof decking and the beams. And of course, if it's black and white, then it's kind of a pain. You got to get up and tape stuff off. Or think about pre-staining your decking to slide it in after the fact. But a lot of times you can get contrast by a difference between one and two coats. And one coat on a smooth decking versus two coats on a hewn or rough beam, it could be the same color and you don't have to tape stuff off, but you get a great contrast.
I want to make sure when you say decking, are you speaking of the ceiling planks?
Yes, roof decking, sorry. Mm-hmm. Or second floor deck that you're staring at from down below.
Well, you're a timber frame guy, so I know why you're saying decking. For the general viewer out there, they just think of like tongue and groove ceiling finish.
There you go.
Yeah.
I need to change my term.
No, you're perfectly fine. You're just, you know a lot more about construction and you've been in the industry for a very long time. I don't even think we touched on that, but you've been in the industry for, is it 40 years?
Coming on 40. Yeah. I started when I was four. So no, I started in design and grew into sales and then helping with, manufacturing and construction crews. But primarily, I still like design, but in sales and sales management is my primary objective.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been with PermaChink?
Counting today. I guess I'm about 8 months now, but... No, I started using them 33 years ago.
Is that right?
Selling their product and helping with crews, managing, getting it installed. And it was sold in the packages. So real good comfort level. And they're just 20 miles down the street from me in East Tennessee. And they needed some help with these commercial accounts. And it fit into what I was doing. And it's been a good fit. Good people, great product, and good customer service.
What about the history of PermaChink itself?
It started back in 81, and Rich Dunstan was the founder and had a great idea for a synthetic mortar that allowed for stretching and movement to replace the old cracked, masonry mortar that was out there. And mm-hmm. He picked Knoxville because within a day's drive, you could reach 2/3 of the country. And Knoxville is also the home of a half a dozen square log manufacturers that were putting out 2,000 houses and packages a year. So he had his clients right in his backyard. He picked Knoxville for the manufacturing, and it's been there, and that's where everything's made today.
We love showing your colors in our showroom. So you've got the Lifeline Interior, and we've been selling that for so many years, particularly because there's so many good colors for log-style homes. But a lot of our business now is timber homes, so more of these stronger accents, like the black walnut that we saw on the Timberlake home, smoke, which we saw in that farmhouse. So these beautiful, these rich grays and dark browns, even a pickled white, like what we see right over here. Mm-hmm. We just put some of that up in the showroom and it's been really well received. If I see one color in a particular product line, does it mean that I need to buy it in that product line, or can it be transferred over to another product line that you offer?
Any of the products that PermaChink have in this catalog can be mixed and matched, and you can get a color from one into the other. We have the formula, basically, and you just have to place it into the different products. So if you want to get a deck defense product to match the walls, no problem. If you're trying to get a, Ultra 7 color, but an interior, lifeline, no problem.
So you put a clear coat on the exterior. Does your interior stains also require a seal coat?
Not necessarily. I will say that, with rounded profiles, people tend to like the glossy look. So the acrylic is a great top coat to give it that ultimate gloss. And if it's a flat or like your paneling that you've got on the wall here, you don't typically see gloss. So you wouldn't have to use that on that. But it's an aesthetic thing. So the acrylic is maybe a top coat for glossy or sure shine, which is another very durable hard acrylic that goes over the finished stain. Maybe in a master bath or in an area where there's a lot of moisture being generated by showers and such, it makes sense to maybe put a top coat in there. It makes it easier to clean. Mm-hmm. Kitchen backsplash, you know, places where you've got grease and other things going on, putting it on there makes sense too, but it's more for aesthetics.
With each of your clear options, there are two sheens available, a satin and a gloss.
That is correct.
Do you see a higher demand for one or the other?
Square logs, flat, satin. Mm-hmm. If it's round or D, gloss.
Chris, what are maybe some of the features that set you guys apart from some of the other stain manufacturers out there? What do you think, why most people come to Permachink?
There's good people. We're blessed with half a dozen stores around the country that provide service for you. Minnesota, you know, Montana, Redmond, Washington, Rifle, Colorado, Knoxville and Sevierville, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. So each of these can deliver product in usually less than 2 days from the time you call it in. There's a relationship you have with the store managers. It's easy peasy. I'm not here to mess that up. So customer service is certainly part of it. But the big reason is, well, me. Now, they're good people and they got a great product. And the competitors got great products too. And I think ours are a little bit better.
Sure.
And you are following what the market's looking for. There are not other stain companies out there that are releasing popular trends like these grays and these rich, dark colors. We're not seeing that in the log and timber home industry.
For sure. Yeah.
And we're very narrow focused with what we want to offer. We want to offer these high performance stains. So we're not just going to go and look at what's available at the hardware store. No large ding on them, but we like to look at these homes as forever homes for our clients. So we want to offer the best products, which is why it was a thrill to have you on today, Chris. I mean, I thought it was very fitting that all the stain in this room happens to be Permachink stain.
So, well, thank you for staging it accordingly, right?
We very intentionally designed this room. We wanted to look great. So, of course, we use Permachink. And you are a wealth of knowledge. It's been great working with you guys. And we hope that our viewers and listeners learned a lot on today's podcast. Just a reminder, if you'd like more, check out the new Home Show podcast. We were able to spend some more time with Chris on that episode as well. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And if there's any questions from the audience that you want to field and send on to me, I'll be happy to address it.